Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Diesel, I suspect there's one reason that a J.R.R. Tolkien account is not verified. It would be very difficult for him to be running an account right now. So, welcome back to Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. What is shaking? South Carolina, great to be with you right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. 97.1 FM Spartanburg. And all around the world and apparently in the afterlife by going to radio.com/ESPN Upstate/listen or downloading the radio.com app on your smartphone, PC, tablet, or laptop. You download the radio.com app or go to radio.com/ESPN Upstate/listen and you can listen to the station around the clock. And if you miss a minute of local programming, don't you worry about it. You can use our Radio Rewind feature to listen to a local show up to 24 hours after it goes off of the air. We are here to make your lives better, and that's one way we do it. Radio.com/ESPN Upstate/listen. Check it out. We'd love to have you live around the clock or in the great beyond as Mr. J.R.R. Tolkien is listening to us here on the show today. A lot of stuff to get to in this hour of the show because that one guy texted us and was very upset about us having the audacity to talk about something that wasn't sports for a second. But shall we jump back into it right now? Diesel, I can't think of a better way to do that than to talk playoff hockey, baby. Woo. How about the Tampa Bay Lightning last night with the big dub? They get Stamkos back. My man puts a goal on the score sheet in his return to the ice. Sometimes you just need your best players to be your best players. And last night, the Lightning Stars outshone the Dallas Stars in a big 5-2 dub in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and they looked good. Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos in his first game since back in late February, and Victor Hedman, Braden Point, Andres Palat all scored as the Lightning took a 2-1 series lead. Coming into that game, my thought was very simple. Despite the fact that the series was all square at a dub apiece, I thought the Dallas Stars had played better hockey. With the exception of about a 4-minute stretch in Game 2 where the Lightning were able to get a couple of power play goals, one of which was a very, very fluky, lucky, fortunate goal. And in scoring those goals, they were able to, I think, frankly, steal Game 1. They were able to, Game 2, able to steal Game 2 to level up at 1-1. I said on Twitter yesterday, as we headed towards puck drop of that game, that when it came down to it, the Lightning had to play better hockey. It was not an option. They were playing poor hockey. It did not look good. They were struggling. The power play was the only thing they had working, and even then they needed a couple of lucky bounces to come up with a couple of goals there. I thought, honestly, that top to bottom, the Dallas Stars just looked to be the better side top to bottom, and then the Lightning showed up. Steven Stamkos took to the ice. The Lightning had their captain back. They were back in command of that series, of that game itself, and now of the series as a whole. And the beautiful thing about that game was that every aspect of Tampa played a part. The players who have been tasked with scoring scored, but the ones that have been asked to step into a role early because of the loss of Stamkos and then were asked to change that role last night, namely Palat and Hedman, they put on a defensive clinic last night. The Stars, with the exception of the first handful of minutes of the game, never looked comfortable up until the very last 6 or 7 minutes when, hanging on to a 5-1 lead, the Lightning just kind of dropped back into the defensive third, were willing to just build the wall in front of the net, prevent the Stars from getting any clean looks at the back of the net, and it was cash money. Everything went right for the Lightning last night, and having Steven Stamkos back, I think, was a huge, huge help. To get Steve Stamkos back on the ice, and look, you know, I didn't think they were going to play him as a first-line guy. Not because he's not a first-line guy. He absolutely is. But my dude hasn't been playing since before I got here and started working with you, all right? I was not hired at ESPN Upstate the last time that Steven Stamkos played a hockey game for the Tampa Bay Lightning, excuse me. So it made sense to put my guy on the fourth rotation last night. He was in the fourth line last night, and I don't know where else you would have put him. I don't know where else you could have put him. You put him in the fourth line for two reasons. Number one, you're going to limit his minutes. You knew that you were going to limit his minutes. They ended up doing that. After his goal got scored, he disappeared from the lineup the rest of the night, which I think was absolutely and entirely the right call. You had to take him out of there. You can't risk him overdoing it in game one. You still need him to captain that lineup through the rest of this World Cup, especially if he's going to bring the motivation to the ice that he brought to the ice last night. The second reason that you throw him into the fourth rotation last night was because your fourth rotation is typically where your bruiser backs are. That's where the guys are that if somebody out there needs a little help understanding the game, if somebody out there needs a little help being police to keep things going in the right direction, you send out the fourth line, and they aren't the ones who are afraid to go out and take a penalty. So if you put them on the fourth line, you're putting them out there with three enforcers and another score, right? You're putting them out there with three enforcers and another score. You're putting him out there in a situation where he is set up to score goals, even if his conditioning isn't great. He's set up out there to score goals against lesser opponents, and he has done so surrounded by guys who got his back, surrounded by enforcers. You take a cheap shot at the lower body of Steven Stamkos, and you are going to have a big goon missing a handful of teeth coming right after you. Right after you immediately. I loved that move from the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. I thought it was well played. I thought the strategy was behind it. It gave Stamkos a little bit of time to get comfortable, but not overdo it. And I think that is the big important part. Stamkos' contribution to this team is not just the points he scores on the ice, although that is a big chunk of it. Stamkos' contribution to this team is the leadership role that he has both in the box and on the ice. Watch Steven Stamkos when we get to game number four. Watch when we get to game four and watch Steven Stamkos when he's down there in the box. You are going to see a guy who is on top of the game. you are going to see a guy who has who is leading that squad. You are going to see a team that is 100% bought in. 100% bought in. I love the way the Lightning handled it last night. I thought that they took advantage of having Stamkos back, didn't overdo it. Now he's got some ice time underneath his skates. He's got a goal in his back pocket to revamp his confidence. He's got a team that is now rallied around him, knowing that that cat is good to go and is now there for them. And when you have all those moving pieces and parts that came together as well as they did for the Lightning last night, despite the fact that the Dallas Stars looked the best side in games 1 and 2, even though it was split, the Stars looked the best side 1 and 2. The one thing that they were missing heading into that series, they got back last night with the return to the ice of Steven Stamkos. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP, ESPN is the number. Text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text at ESPN so it filters through to us. 71307 is the text line. Tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, and, of course, at ESPN Upstate. Take a real quick break. I know we're just a minute early, but we come back here in just a minute, and we have got plenty more that we need to talk about. Speaking of playoff basketball, your Miami Heat get the dub over the Boston Celtics last night. How'd they pull that off, and why is Tyler Hero, the guy not getting nearly enough love in the bubble, he put that on display last night. Quick break. We're coming right back to talk a little shooty hoops. I'm Rob. He's Diesel. It's the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob and Diesel with you on a Thursday afternoon. Appreciate you spending your time with us, letting us spend our time with you. Football, baseball, playoff, basketball, playoff, hockey is all in season. Shut the hell up about MTV and the History Channel. Why is that my favorite text we've gotten in weeks, Diesel? I think it's just, that guy is so genuinely angry that we had the audacity to talk about the History Channel for 15 minutes. How awful. All right. A lot of stuff I want to talk about, continue to talk about. Somebody asked me the other day if we are going to have bowl games this year. And it was a great question. And I've come up with the answer probably, but I'm not 100% sure. And on top of that, if we do, what are they going to look like? How are they going to work? And the answer is, we don't know. We're still 2 months away. And the fact that we're 2 months away means there is still a lot that needs to happen. A lot that needs to happen today, right? You were talking about a point in time. Wake Forest and Notre Dame was supposed to play this weekend, and 6 days before that game was to take place. 6 days before that game was to take place, they had to postpone it due to COVID. Now, fortunately, it looks like both of those teams did have a common open date in December, and so they will play that game in December instead of previously scheduled this weekend. Now, with that game taking place in December, the point that is being driven home here is that we can't really predict what is going to happen 6 days before it happens in college football. So trying to predict what is going to happen 3 months before it happens in college football, not a great idea, not a great plan. Seems a little difficult to imagine pulling off right this very second, right? I don't understand why people are pushing this, well, here's what the bowls are going to be like narrative, when we don't know what this weekend is going to be like yet. Now, there have been some questions and some answers that have come out so far, though there are a lot of questions, secondary follow-up questions that still have to be answered. As of right now, there are 41 bowls still on the schedule. Most of them are still being considered as go, although the dates for many of the earlier ones have yet to be set, obviously because of pandemic uncertainties. The New Year's Day bowls, which are the Rose, Citrus, Outback, Peach, and Sugar, are set, as are the national semifinals, which will be January 2nd, and the Fiesta in Orange Bowls in the national championship 9 days later in Miami. But before they can start setting dates, one of the questions that has to be answered is, how are we going to determine who is bowl eligible? With the Big Ten now returning to play, that means there will be 88 teams and 41 bowls. If a winning record or at least 6 victories is necessary to become bowl eligible, that would make it impossible to find 82 teams to fill every spot. According to some sources, the NCAA is reviewing 2 temporary waivers. One that would eliminate the 500-plus rule for this season, making every team in the country bowl eligible. And remember, the Pac-12 and MAC are both reportedly also considering returning to football in October. So where would that land the NCAA as of right now? Well, the question mark is, will the NCAA need to provide a 1-year waiver that would allow maybe a 500 or a sub-500 record to get in? Keeping in mind that for most teams, 5-5 this year, not 6-6, is 500. There's another idea that would include moving the schedules up for some of the other bowls so that they effectively serve as a 12th game for those teams that are eligible regardless of their records, which would also shorten the amount of time between the regular season and the bowl game, which in light of the pandemic feels like it might be the best idea. On top of the pandemic, regional matchups might be looked at more closely as the options for the bowls. If you are looking at a bowl game, it might make sense if you've got, for instance, the Gator Bowl down in Central Florida, it might make more sense to pair off, let's say, a 5-win or 6-win FSU and a 7 or 8-win UCF than it would to, say, pair off FSU and try to bring Michigan down from the Great White North to get that bowl game going. So we may see some regional rivalries that get played out in the bowl games moving forward. The question mark is still there. And the answer to all of this is we don't really know what the case of all this is going to be. Of the season's 41 bowls, 22 of them are owned by independent nonprofits. 16 of them are owned by ESPN, and 3 of them are owned by professional sports franchises. The Pinstripe, Quick Lane, and LA Bowl are all owned by the franchises in the stadiums of which they play. The bowl season would likely have to be shortened, though who would end up where is the question that we do not, unfortunately, know the answer to as of yet. It's not been formalized, and I don't know that it is ultimately going to end up being. That being said, I suspect that for the first time in a long time, the importance of these bowls is going to be evaluated, right? Because here's the reality. Like it or hate it, love it or not, most bowl games are irrelevant to college football, right? I mean, really. What does the Gator Bowl ever accomplish? I mean, it's nice, and I know there's the whole, well, it's a nice reward for getting to where you need to be. And I get it. I mean, look, I like these guys when they go out and lay their heart and soul down on the field and get out there and go get that dub. And I like them to be treated to a nice little vacation and head down to Disney or up to beautiful Idaho to play in the Idaho Potatoes Bowl. Because what is more of a reward, Diesel? Great job this year, buddy. We're sending you to Boise. It's not all that much.
To be fair. I did hear that, and at this point it's probably been 10 to 15 years ago, Clemson played in that famous Potato Bowl on the blue turf in Boise, and the players said they absolutely loved it. Not because it was frigid cold, but because of the activities that they got to do that were just, you know, it's just different from what you do if you go to Orlando.
Sure.
Or if you go to, you know, Dallas or something like that. I mean, they were out there riding snowmobiles, which a lot of the players probably never even saw snow before this. But they got to do something very different from what they would have done had they gone to a different bowl game. And again, this was a different era in Clemson football where they were just excited to go to bowl games. Yeah.
Yeah, if you get the Boise Bowl, you get to do all kinds of fun things. You get to plant potatoes, and then you get to pick potatoes, and then you get to chop potatoes,
ooh,
and then you get to learn all the different ways to cook potatoes, Diesel. All the different ways to cook potatoes. You can make breakfast tomatoes. You can make mashed potatoes. You can make garlic butter potatoes. You can make tater tot potatoes. You can make hash brown potatoes. You can make home fried potatoes. You can make potato salad. I mean,
why
there's
you sound
all
like
this
Bubba
different
from Forrest Gump?
Yeah, that was kind of the
shrimp
aesthetic
burger,
I was going for.
Shrimp stew, shrimp scampi, shrimp this, shrimp that.
I'm not mad at a Bubba Gump reference at all. Anyway, point is,
careful, this, the ghost of Tom Hanks will tweet us.
I don't think Tom Hanks
is not dead.
It.
He's not.
Okay, cool.
I was being facetious.
I was gonna say, did I miss something very tragic in 2020?
I was being facetious.
I just legit freaked out for a second that Tom Hanks died and I didn't catch it. Tom Cruise has been dead for 13 years. Scientology is keeping his body alive and animated. I believe that thoroughly. Anyway, the importance of these bowl games is going to be tested this year, right? I know we all care about the bowl games. And listen, I am not the dude. Every year, Diesel, and it's going to happen here this year, maybe if we have them. Every year, I get somebody who calls my show and they go, I don't know why we got all these bowl games. Too many bowl games, man. To which I then respectfully remind people, keep in mind that when the bowl games are over, we have 220 days of no football. So I will watch two 0-12 teams play each other if it's the last time I get to watch football for another 9 months. All right? You're just going to have to deal with it. Now, that being said, the importance of these games is going to be tested this year because this is the first incident, at least that I can remember, in sports history where the incident is bigger than the importance of college football. The results of what happens based on the incident are more important than the actual college football games, right? The results of the pandemic on a college football team are more important than whether or not they win the Freedom Bowl. The results of what happened with the pandemic are more important than whether or not you win the Pinstripe Bowl or the Gator Bowl or the Citrus Bowl or whatever. It's not the Belk Bowl anymore up in Charlotte. What's the name of the bowl now, Diesel? Do you know? It's not the Belk Bowl. They just changed the name of it.
Is it the Duke's Mayo Bowl?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Which, by the way, I have not had Duke's Mayo since I moved here. I have been told that I haven't mayoed until I've Duke's mayoed, but I have yet to Duke's mayo. I know I heard Mark talking about it on air one day. He brought up that he had not had it and he didn't understand how it was any different than any other mayo. And I swear to you, Diesel, in the 7 months that I have been living here, working here, working on and listening to this radio station, in the 7 months I've been here, I heard more callers on Mark Ryan's show when he talked about Duke's mayo than about any other topic that I have heard him talk about at all, Will Muschamp included.
It's
it was
a big
unbelievable.
Deal. People care. I'm sure there are people out there who would rather go with no mayo at all than eat something other than Duke's mayo.
I haven't had it, and I haven't done the research. Deesel, are you a Duke's mayo guy?
Yes, I'm a Duke's mayo guy. We ran out of Duke's mayo about 2 weeks ago, but we had just had a, you know, hang by the pool, like grill and swim hangout. And somebody brought like one of the small things of Hellman's. And so I had a legitimate crisis of conscience when I knew that we were out of Duke's. And I was like, what do? I'm making a sandwich. All I've got is Hellman's. Do I use the Hellman's or do I go without? And I chose to have the Hellman's because, I mean, the sandwich without mayo is awful.
Is it even a sandwich?
Right. I'm going to ask that question on the ESPN Upstate Twitter. Is it better to go without mayo or use something other than Duke's?
All right. So at some point, I'm going to have to go out and find Duke's and bring some Duke's back to the house because I have not had Duke's yet. I have yet to have any Duke's. When Mark Ryan discussed Duke's on his show, more people called into his show with a burning passion about Duke's mayo than I have heard call about any of their college football teams, and it was unbelievable to me. I've never heard anything like it. Anyway, point of all this is, bowl games, are they important or not? Are bowl games more or less important than Duke's mayo? There's your topic. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show. Rob Diesel, you, this is ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. 71307 is the number to text us. Here's two texts that came in during the break. At ESPN, Rob, I will eat tuna salad dry, before I eat any other mayo. Kraft and Hellsman sucks, end quote. Text number two says, Diesel, I would never commit such a blasphemous act as to put a different mayo on my sandwich. Shame on you. Yeah, Diesel, shame on you.
Yeah, shame. Boo.
Shame.
Boo.
Shame.
So we've got a poll on this already up on the ESPN Upstate Twitter. It's a very young poll, but, I mean, it's kind of the way that I thought the results were going to go anyway. The question is, if you're trying to make a sandwich and you open the fridge and you squeeze the Duke's bottle and there's nothing in there, what are you going to do? You can't go to the store because then that's 20 minutes, 30 minutes waiting to eat the sandwich. You want to eat the sandwich now. But there just so happens to be any other brand of mayonnaise in your refrigerator for some reason. What are you going to do? Are you going to go without mayonnaise, which, again, let's face it, makes the sandwich, or are you going to use another brand? And so far, 84% say go without.
So here's what I don't understand about this mayo battle. Okay, here's what I don't understand. And listen, I am today. I will have a report tomorrow. Today, I am going to go get some Duke's mayo, bring it back to the house, and I'm gonna make myself a variety of sandwiches with it. D, I'm gonna make myself three or four different sandwiches to test it out on a variety of lunch meats. Now, here's what I don't understand. Here's the problem that I'm having. All right, so you guys know me. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. Originally, I grew up on the Gulf Coast of Florida. Food is a big part of basically every aspect of my life, right? Like in Louisiana, our funerals are basically buffets, right? That's just what we do. Food is the centerpiece of every social gathering of any type. And that's why I've always said I firmly believe that the best cooking in all of America comes out of Southeast Louisiana. All right, that's just me. I've been to Charleston. Charleston has some incredible food, but if you ever go to Charleston, you get some of that incredible fruit. Most of it has some influence from Creole Cajun Louisiana cooking. That's, I'm biased. Cool. We'll have another discussion another day about it. But the point that I'm making is I understand the premise of a food battle, right? I understand the premise of New York pizza versus Chicago pizza. I understand the difference in or the fight between Texas barbecue, St. Louis barbecue, Kansas City barbecue, and North Carolina barbecue and why people have their favorites. It's the same thing, but it's done a variety of different ways. I understand when there are a variety of styles of cooking one particular food and why people have their favorites. I understand why some people like their hamburgers seasoned and cooked a certain way versus another. I get all that. But all of those foods, even though they're the same food cooked different ways, they have dynamic differences in flavor and taste, right? With Carolina barbecue, you got a little more vinegary taste. Kansas City barbecue is more about the dry rub, etc. There's that big difference that makes those battles legitimate. Diesel, I can't imagine that there is a dynamic difference. It's such a dynamic difference in varieties of the least dynamic condiment of all time, mayo. There's nothing dynamic about a mayo, so how is this such a battle here in the upstate about mayo of all foods?
People are just going to say you just don't get it. You're not from here. You don't understand.
No, I get that I don't get it. I agree with you. That's literally exactly what I'm saying is I don't get it. But since I don't get it, explain it to me. We got to take a break. We'll bring this back up later in the show, but we are going to be joined by a very special guest in the next segment. Mr. Noah Pilato of the Greenville Triumph is going to join us. He has been on a hot streak as of late, and they've got a match tomorrow right here in the upstate. We're going to talk to Noah Pilato of the Greenville Triumph coming up in the next segment of the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, all around the world on the radio.com app. Let's go to the phone lines now. Welcome in a guest to the program, a young man who has done a tremendous amount in order to help the Greenville Triumph reach the top of the USL League One table. Now, just a few points away from closing in on the ability to enter the championship. Noah Pilato joins us here on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Noah, I appreciate you taking the time, man. I know y'all are busy the day before match day. It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Let's talk a little bit about this team and where you guys stand. Obviously, top of the table, big win earlier in the week to get one over on Chattanooga. You guys had the two tough back-to-back losses to start that last long road trip, but it's been all bounced back from here or from then. What has been the mentality of this football team as you guys are approaching the end of the weirdest season so far that I think any of us can remember?
Right. Yeah, so basically, obviously, like you said, we had a bit of a rough road trip, a lot of games in a short amount of time, and we dropped a couple games that we – that we, you know, didn't really deserve to. Our performances weren't up to where we thought they could be, and we knew we demanded better from ourselves. So we just looked at it from a day-to-day, game-by-game approach because, I mean, especially in this crazy season, that's all you really can do. You don't want to look forward and get ahead of yourselves, and you don't want to dwell on the past. So, yeah, basically we just put our heads down and said, listen, we're better than what we showed. Let's just take this day-by-day, game-by-game. And I think the response from the guys and from the team and then through the coaching staff from those two losses to bounce back the way that we have says a lot about us as a team and a lot about the character that we have. And it's super promising, and it looks really good going forward.
Noah Pilato joins us here on the show from the Greenville Triumph as they are set tomorrow evening to get back to Legacy Early College. What does it mean when you got to go on a road trip and especially you got to play a couple of games back-to-back away from home? What is the feeling this year? Obviously, limited fans. You got the social distancing. Just it's a weird feeling in 2020 for you guys trying to get acclimated to what the season is like in 2020. Has it gotten to be a new normal yet, or is it something that you mentally have to deal with every time you take the pitch?
Yeah, I would say at this point we're pretty used to it. I think early in the season we had a meeting, and the main point was that listen. If fans are going to be allowed at any point in the season, it'll likely be a limited number of people. So the energy is going to have to come from within. And I think that we've taken that obviously onto the road and also at Legacy. It's the energy has to come from the team. And if we can generate that energy and be buzzing between the boys, no one's going to stop us. And I think that we've done a really good job generating that and a really good job being able to take that upon ourselves. And even with the fans at Legacy, obviously that helps because our support group here is amazing. But even in that sense, we need to bring our own energy regardless if there's fans in the stands or not. And I think we've done a really good job with that. Obviously, road trips are a bit different, especially now. You have to be extra careful with the travel and all the protocols in place. So at first, it was a little interesting having to get used to all that, you know, the gloves and the masks. Traveling and the constant sanitizing and not being able to really go out and do much of anything on away trips. You're kind of stuck in your hotel room. So it's just, again, about keeping your head straight and not letting all of that get to you and then being able to generate your own energy as a team as you get onto the field.
Let's take that one step further because, you know, obviously having to generate your own energy is something that – a lot of us, and especially you guys at the professional level, we probably don't really think about, since maybe high school, for some of us that played at bigger high schools even before that, especially in a place like Greenville that has such a great soccer culture. You've got the Reedy River Riot right there and the supporter section. Yeah. Without those, how do you guys, have you had to teach yourself how to develop that energy within the team, or did it kind of develop organically for you guys?
I think it's a good point. I think it actually did develop pretty organically. The group of guys, obviously, we have a really strong base of guys returning from last year who had a lot of good chemistry together, and they were very welcoming, and it made it very easy for new guys like myself to come in and get acclimated and learn the culture of the team very quickly. So it is something that we were able to generate organically. Also, it goes as simple as to, you know, we turn the speaker on before the game and we blast the music just to try to add any sort of additional hype to ourselves than you already have. But it also comes in turn. You don't want to let your emotions get the best of you. You want to be able to get up for the occasion but be able to keep those emotions controlled. So it's finding a balance of get yourself hyped but still make sure you're dialed in and not letting that hype kind of shade where your head's at getting into the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. And one of the things that I've loved being new to the Upstate, this being my first season, getting to come out and watch you guys play, one of the things that's very much impressed me is the communication of this football club. From Dallas J in the back all the way up to the front four on an attack, you guys communicate as often, as loudly, and as efficiently as any football team that I've seen, and that's all the way up to MLS squads. I love the constant communication. I love the talk and the chatter. Do you guys find that being a close team has helped with that? And does that level of communication help you guys out in what you try to accomplish on the pitch?
Yeah, no doubt. We have, obviously, with Aaron and Tyler as the captains, we have great leaders on the team. But I also think that guys who aren't, per se, captains, there's a lot of leadership within the group. So, obviously, those two guys take the reins, and they're amazing at what they do, and they take lead of the team, but there's also a handful of guys that take that responsibility upon themselves as well. So there's just leadership at every line that you look across. So from Dallas is unbelievable. You just have guys chirping in your ear from in front of you, from behind you. It just makes it so much easier to play. And then obviously, again, with the no fans, it's almost like the communication has to be that much stronger because you just have to be that much more tuned in and that much more in tune with each other and on the same page. And I think, like you said, we've done an unbelievable job of that. And even though it's such a little thing and it's such a simple thing to do, it goes that much, it makes that much more of a difference. And as you can see, it's translating really well onto the field for us.
I love it. Now you guys have a match coming up this Friday night at Legacy Early. This is a rematch from a very intense game last year that you guys have, and I would assume one that you guys want to get back. This is a replay of the USL League One finals from last year, first time that you have seen North Texas SC since then, I believe. How important is this game to the Greenville Triumph, and what is the mentality of this team, understanding that this is a rematch? What's the mentality of this team heading into Friday night?
Yeah, so obviously I wasn't on the team last year, but I know how important it is to the guys that were here last year and how important it is for us as a team this season to keep rolling. So, like you said, obviously I think there's a little bit of a revenge to be given, and we want to do that, but also we need to look at it as this season, as if we win this game, destiny's in our own hands, and if we keep rolling, we'll be where we want to be at the end of the season. So I think it's a double-edged sword. We go and we get the revenge, and then we go and get the huge win on the season, and it's a win-win, and we just start rolling from there. They're a very young, talented team. It's a different look than really what we've seen. Like a Chattanooga is a very experienced, older team, and then North Texas is a little bit of the other side of the straw with the young and the talented and the hungry. So it'll be a different look, but we're more than prepared. We've trained really well. The coaches have put in an unbelievable game plan, and I'm super excited. I think we're going to come out flying.
Noah Pilato is a forward for the Greenville Triumph SC. They've got a match tomorrow against their opponent in last year's USL League One Championship Finals, North Texas SC. That one's going to be at 7 o'clock. Noah, my man, I know you guys are busy. I know you got to get out there and get one last run around in before we get going on Friday. Looking forward to seeing you. I appreciate the time, man. Congratulations on a great season so far, and continued success to you guys. We'll see you out on the pitch tomorrow, man.
Yes, sir. Thanks again for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Noah Pilato joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Update. Appreciate his time. Thanks to Doug Irwin, as always, from the Greenville Triumph for setting that up for us. We very much appreciate it. Quick break. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.